Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Guillermo Mash, welcoming you to the Without a Roof radio program. In the month of August, we are focusing on homelessness in our school systems, and we have a trifecta for you today. We are going to start with Megan Malloy, the program coordinator for School Ties here in Butte County, talking about the success of yesterday's Back to School Connect. We also have Shahara Hyatt from the California Homeless Youth Project to talk about homelessness in the school systems from a statewide perspective. And we end the show with Homeless Emergency Action Response Team, Emily Bateman, and Dina Capsalis from The Ridge, a principal at Honey Run Academy. And they're going to talk about the services that HEART provides within the school system and help to educate folks around a few stereotypes in this area that don't really fit what's going on for our youth that are experiencing homelessness. And youth experiencing homelessness, it's not Peter Pan. And we need to start looking at this as the crisis that it is and give the energy and resources it requires. So thanks for listening. And here we go. Megan Malloy. Hi, Guillermo Mash here for the August 9th Without a Roof radio program. Always a pleasure to have Megan Malloy, program coordinator, Butte County Office of Ed, Homeless Education, and Foster Youth Services. Welcome back to KZFR, Megan.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you and your whole staff, you know, Jess Candeller, for coordinating this wonderful Back to School Connect yesterday. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what that was and how many people came through for services?
Well, first of all, I want to thank my team, too. They're absolutely amazing. It was the first event. We would like this to be an annual event, but it was the first one we had, and we called it a Back to School Connect. It's based on the Project Homeless Connect model, but we targeted families with school-age students. And we held this event yesterday at Chico Junior High. It was a huge success. Yeah. We served over 250 students. We don't have the final numbers yet, but I know there were 250. I think it was closer to 275.
And you happened to actually turn folks away, as I had heard. Can you confirm that?
Unfortunately, we did. And what that tells us is the need is there, the need is high, and we need to figure out a way to expand next year.
So you were so darn happy and excited. Can you take us through your emotions seeing everyone lining up and heading into the Back to School event at the multipurpose room?
I was so excited because this has been a dream of mine really since 2012, since the first large Project Homeless Connect event happened in Butte County. And I saw that it was really for adults, and it happened during the week, during a school day. So I wanted to do one of these for students for 5 years, and so it was a dream come true to see it actually happen. I did not expect there to be so many people there right at the beginning in the line. It was pretty overwhelming to see the line. Yeah. But as families started coming in, it was amazing. My favorite part was the haircuts. We had 10 hairdresser, haircut professionals there volunteering their time, and it was amazing. We had the 10 chairs lined up, and seeing the kids getting their new fresh haircuts for school was, it was very emotional. It was amazing.
It was. Yeah, I'll share a story that Dina had shared with me, and that is she was doing the KZFR table with me, and she is the homeless liaison, foster youth liaison for the Ridge area, and there was a family that came through, Megan, that she was able to reach out to them and get them signed up for McKinney-Vento, because they definitely qualified for McKinney-Vento, but they didn't know anything about it or, you know, how to get engaged. So Dina was so happy with that, about that.
That's awesome. And those kinds of connections, I think, were happening all over the place. We had about 25 service providers there, and the feedback that I'm getting from them is that they got all kinds of new referrals and families all lined up for services, so that was really exciting.
I loved it. I got a lot of energy out of it.
I'm so glad.
I actually spoke with hundreds of kids and family members at the KZFR table, so it was a joy, and I really appreciate you guys putting that all on. So where does BCOE go from here with this concept?
Well, this was the first annual, so I'm going to figure out a way to keep doing this every year. It was very evident to me that the need is here, and it's very real, and I want to keep it going. I'd also like to expand to the Oroville and Paradise areas. I'd like to do that next year. Now we have a whole year of planning and fundraising to make it happen.
All right, Maggie Malloy, thanks for all that you do, and thanks for coming on KZFR.
Thank you.
All right, Gamma Mash here with the August 9th Without a Roof Radio program, and I have on the phone someone that contributes quite frequently, and we love having her on the show, Shahara Hyatt, director of the California Homeless Youth Project. Welcome back to KZFR, Shahara Hyatt.
Hey, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
My distinct pleasure, and I appreciate you being on for this month of August, where we're dedicating the entire month to homelessness in our schools. So when you hear the term homelessness in our schools, what are some of the things that come to mind and things that you're working on?
Yeah, well, this is an issue I've been really passionate about and done a lot of work on over the years. You know, for me, I do statewide research and policy on homelessness among young people. And one of the things that we know in California is that, you know, California has the largest share of homeless students in the country. So the number of homeless students that we have in our state is larger than the number of students in Alaska, Washington, and Vermont combined, just the students total. So, you know, nationally about 2% of students experience homelessness. In California, it's about 4 or 5% of students experience homelessness. So it's more than double that of the national average in our state, which is a really acute problem because of our housing affordability challenges.
Now, when you say the 4 to 5%, is that the McKinney-Vento definition of homelessness?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you could explain that a little bit, because there's two differing definitions for homelessness.
Sure, yeah. So the Department of Education defines homelessness as anyone who is lacking a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence. So that can include people who are couch surfing or living doubled or tripled up out of economic necessity, which is, in our state, a little over 80% of those students are identified as homeless. So, you know, oftentimes it's one family that's evicted or kicked out of the place that they're living at, going to live with another family who is also typically low income or living in substandard housing. They're not on the lease. Sometimes they don't have a key or don't know how long they can stay. It's generally sort of overcrowded and sometimes an unsafe situation. So that accounts for the bulk of homeless students. The other kind of like smaller percentages are folks who might be living in a temporary like emergency shelter, or folks who are living in hotels or motels, again, because they don't have a stable place to stay, not because they're on vacation, and then another small percentage that's unsheltered. So that can be in cars, tents, or abandoned buildings.
I think it counts, too, is if you ran away for a week and came back home, you would be considered homeless for that 1 week period, correct?
Yeah, you would be. So that number that we have in California includes anybody who experienced homelessness at some point during the school year. So in our state, it's hovered somewhere between 250 and 300,000 students, which is a really, really huge number. One of the interesting things, when we did some research on student homelessness, 3 of the 5 counties with the highest percentage of homeless students were actually rural counties. They were Trinity, Lake, and Sierra. And that was interesting because we know that, you know, some of the urban school districts have the highest sheer numbers of homeless students, but some of the rural school districts have the highest percentages. So like maybe 10% of their students or even 13% of their students were homeless during the school year, which is just massive amount of their student body.
Yeah, I get concerned with the minimization. I won't say who it was, but I was in a meeting with someone that was the director of alternative ed in a county. And he sloughed it all off. He said, yeah, you know, a lot of those numbers are just kids that ran away and came back home. And I said, well, kids that ran away and came back home, there's something in that living situation
mm-hmm.
that's affecting not only their physical and mental health, but their school ability as well. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I think that sometimes people have this sort of romantic stereotype about, you know, a 15-year-old just taking a backpack and, you know, having a blowout and going to go stay with a friend for a couple of days. That's not the most typical situation. You know, oftentimes if that's the case, they don't even end up on the school radar as having a homelessness episode because, you know, they're not coming forward about that and they're not necessarily in need of McKinney-Vento education services. Homelessness can be cyclical for youth and for families. You know, they cycle in and out of homelessness sometimes. But generally, if they're identified by the school, it's because the issues are much more severe in terms of housing stability, yeah, and homelessness.
And I think we tend to gloss over. I had an interview last week on sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was formerly, I ran away. I wasn't even homeless. I didn't even have the freaking term when I ran away. But but there's a majority, I believe it's a majority of youth will be propositioned for sex within 48, 72 hours of actually, you know, becoming, quote unquote, new term homeless.
Right.
What would you say around that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when youth first become homeless, they are incredibly vulnerable to, you know, sex and labor trafficking and definitely, you know, sometimes do get approached. I know when I was younger, folks, I mean, even just being outside sometimes would, yeah, approach you. And when you're not able to meet your own basic needs because you don't have that economic support, it puts them in the tough position of trying to find other survival strategies. So I think that it's important for communities and for the state to see themselves as responsible for preventing that kind of thing, that when we don't provide help for young people who are experiencing homelessness, we put them in those situations to be vulnerable to sex and labor trafficking and to really be exploited. So we need to give young people better alternatives, you know, meaningful job opportunities, access to food and shelter and clothing, and not consider those things, you know, commodities, but really as necessary for, you know, as a human right for their survival.
Folks, just joining, we're speaking with Shahara Hyatt, the director of the California Homeless Youth Project based out of Sacramento. And, you know, I guess I would just kind of end by asking you, you know, what things that you see in your legislative work, you know, give us some things that are glimmers of hopes of projects or programs that are helping in this area.
We've had some successes in the legislature in terms of just strengthening the rights of homeless students in our state in recent years. I would say we definitely need government at every level to increase financial investment in, you know, students experiencing homelessness to meet the needs of this community. We also need school districts to be adequately staffed to respond to this population. I know that the education liaisons that are working with homeless students often have massive caseloads, making it really difficult to provide the support that each student needs to be safe and successful in school.
All right, Shahara, thanks so much, and we'll be in touch. I'll try to produce pieces and pull you in over the next couple of weeks till we hit the end of the month.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Bill.
Guillermo Mash here for the Without a Roof Radio program on KZFR with Emily Bateman, Program Manager for the Homeless Emergency Action Response Team, or HART, here in Butte County, and Dina Capsalis, Paradise School District Homeless and Foster Youth Services Liaison and Principal at Honey Run Academy in Paradise, an alternative education and school reentry site on the ridge. And we're talking about the impact of homeless youth in the school system. And Dina, why don't you start off with giving our listeners a little idea of the scope of the problem we're dealing with?
Yeah, I can speak for Paradise Unified School District. A lot of folks don't realize that Paradise Unified School District includes Lower Paradise all the way up through Magalia, DeSable, all the way up to Sterling City. So we serve as a school district all those families and those kids that live up on that lower ridge, middle ridge, and upper ridge. And last year, in terms of McKinney-Vento services for homeless families and youth, we served over 150 families and students at school who were designated homeless in Paradise. And that's just in Paradise, and Magalia and Sterling City.
What about the county? Emily, maybe you could put a little more color on the rest of the county as far as how many youth are dealing with this situation and the families.
So it's my understanding that homeless youth in Butte County, that our best guesstimate on that is around 1,000.
Wow.
Again, the part of the issue is being able to identify these youth and them identifying themselves as homeless. So that's where it gets harder to tack down an actual permanent number for us. Mm-hmm.
So maybe, Emily, we can continue with another question I had around the legalities of runaway students. What is the law as it states if you're a runaway, and how does that impact your program?
So in California, it is not, you cannot be arrested for running away from home, but you can be brought back home by law enforcement. In our program, we like to work with parents whenever possible and the youth to come up with common goals and finding permanent housing that, you know, hopefully is a family member, parent, guardian, foster parent. If that's not possible, and sometimes it's not, who is someone that's going to provide that permanent stable housing for this young person? And how do we support that person in keeping that youth there? So does that person need help accessing social services so they have enough food for that young person to be there? What are the agreements between the young person and their alternative caregiver? If they're going back home, what agreements are they making with their parent? What are the expectations? Doing some conflict mediation, those type of things.
So, Dina, why don't you talk to a little bit about the stereotypes? There's some stereotypes associated with the programs like HEART and stuff that help students. I've heard the term enabling. Maybe you could take it from there.
Yeah, one of our biggest challenges in Paradise Unified as administrators and those of us who reach out to the general community and all of the stakeholders in our district is battling the perception that the HEART program, that McKinney-Vento services are actually giving students and youth permission to run away and permission to be homeless. And also, the idea for parents that being a runaway, because they do generally contact law enforcement if their child runs away, that being, like Emily says, being a runaway is not against the law. It is in other states. I don't know exactly which states, but California, it's not against the law. Being truant is against the law in California, but law enforcement isn't particularly interested in going after truant students when the parent calls for the runaway. But those perceptions are out there that these programs encourage, possibly, I've heard that, give permission, or take care of students that, quote, choose not to follow the rules at home. And, you know, most of the listeners probably don't have that perception, and most of us in the business don't have that perception because we're boots on the ground and we know what's going on. But I feel like it's always good to take that long view and make sure the general population understands fully what the mission is of these organizations. For McKinney-Vento, it's a federal program supporting homeless families and youths. And as I say many times to parents, we're not giving them money to spend at the mall on Saturday. It's a way to remove obstacles to being a student. Transportation, food services, clothing, backpacks, supplies, materials.
Yeah, survival stuff.
Survival stuff in order to be a student. So we're just eliminating whatever obstacles a runaway youth or a homeless youth might have as their perception for as a barrier to school.
Maybe I'll swing the mic towards Emily. You know, we had some discussion around this whole idyllic, you know, backpacking trip or Peter Pan. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not my experience, you know, working with and friending folks that are experiencing homeless that are younger. And it wasn't my experience as a runaway at 16. Maybe you could expand on that.
Again, just building on what Dina was saying, and I think that there is some misperception around this population that they're having fun. And that's just not the case, or that we're giving them permission to run away. And that's absolutely not the mission of our program. We want to make sure young people who are experiencing a homeless and runaway episode are safe physically and emotionally, and that we find them safe and stable housing long term. So again, going back to family reunification and making agreements with parents or caregivers, or finding someone else where this person young person can live safely and healthy, can go to school, can get a job if that's what they want to do, can work on their goals and be successful in life. We really also would like to prevent the runaway episode from happening. So if parents are feeling like their kid is saying, I'm going to run away, let us come in before that happens and let's work on some stuff, you know, brief, short term, and get you connected maybe with other resources that may be beneficial to the youth and the family, so that the episode doesn't even happen. You know, prevention is key with this population, and then getting them back into a safe environment. Definitely not enabling them to continue to run away, but making sure that if they have run away, that they are physically safe and not being victimized.
Yeah, because I can't stress enough the whole risk of folks being homeless. Covenant House had a comment that, you know, homelessness days count, but for youth, it's hours. Mm-hmm. It's hours. And as you heard in that other interview that led with Chair Hyatt, you know, Many of these youth are propositioned for sex within 48 hours. They're asked to take drugs or to distribute drugs. This is not a place that we want our youth, and I think we need more services out there helping young people.
And as a community, it's an opportunity to help support our young folks in being successful.
Yes, and I've seen that. It's a good transition then to the impact the HEART program has in a school setting. Maybe I'll start with you, Emily, and then go over to Dina.
I hope we have a good impact in a school setting. Actually, most of our referrals do come from the schools for the HEART program. And so that allows us to meet with the young person in a safe setting where they already have established relationships and trust with school counselors and teachers and administrators. So we appreciate the schools reaching out to us. And we also want to hopefully help the schools help this young person and do our part and contribute to them continuing to be successful at school and have safe and stable housing.
Because I know HEART offers, you know, consultations with not only the youth, but the parents. And basically, you'll problem solve whatever you need to get that youth into a safe and warm environment.
Yes, absolutely. So parents are more than welcome to call us, and they can. The youth, to open a case or a service for the young person, the youth has to say they want us to. So even if the young person says, no, I don't want HEART, parents can always call. And when we can talk them through on the phone of, hey, here's resources for you. Try this. Maybe let's try this intervention over here and really guide them if they're wanting that. Mm-hmm. Or to know what their options are, too, as a parent, what they can do for their young person if their young person leaves the home.
Listeners, just joining, we're listening to Emily Bateman, Program Manager for Homeless Emergency Action Response Team, as well as Dina Capsalis, a principal at Honey Run Academy. And I'm going to swing it back over to Dina to put some color around what happens in your school system up there up in Paradise.
Yeah, I think it's also the HEART program and McKinney-Vento is part of a larger, and I would also add Butte County 211, which is the 24-hour hotline for services, that it's really part of a larger vision in education that we have now about de-siloing ourselves and taking on the responsibility of reaching out more to the whole child. I think there was a long time where, and maybe we're seeing the fruits of this now, but there was a very long time where educators felt that they weren't part of the whole system. And that it wasn't really their job or wasn't our job to reach out and try to find students, for example. And, you know, if students come through our door, we'll teach them. That's our job. But now we understand that we wear many hats and we're part of multi-agency support systems to keep our kids safe and to keep our kids learning and keep them in school and moving towards their future. So I think that's one big change that's happened in terms of how these services have impacted our agency in education in supporting those families.
So for folks that may not know, 211 it's kind of the take on the 911 for an emergency, but 211, you call 211 in Butte, and it's a no cost service helpline, and they can help you find all sorts of wonderful things that you might not be able to find navigating yourself. But maybe a little insight on what McKinney-Vento is, Dina.
Yeah, McKinney-Vento, it's a federal law that supports homeless families. It was reauthorized in 2014 by Barack Obama in the Obama White House. It's part of the Every Student Succeeds Act, which replaced No Child Left Behind. It was reauthorized at that point. And the definition for homeless under McKinney-Vento was expanded by HUD, the Housing and Urban Development Division. And it now includes, the definition is homeless for us and for McKinney-Vento is not having a fixed nighttime residence. So it expanded, you know, other than living under a bridge or living outside or in a tent, it also includes living in hotel motels, living in a fifth wheel, living in a shelter. And for Paradise, the majority of our homeless families are doubled up. That's where we're living multiple families in one household outside of what might be culturally part of your experience. You know, there are some cultures that double up and live that way, not for economic reasons, but for cultural reasons. Mm-hmm. But we support those families that are doubled up for economic reasons. So that's McKinney-Vento. What School Ties does, which is a Butte County Office of Education program, Megan Malloy runs that program. They provide the services that include food service, free breakfast, free lunch, transportation to and from school, not just our Paradise Unified bus services, but also sometimes a Beeline bus pass, sometimes a gas card to help those families get their kiddos to school, and also school supplies. Tutoring is available. Josh Indar, you've had him on this show, Bill. He's one of the tutors who will come out and work with students that need support.
Maybe some closing comments from you, Emily, particularly how to get a hold of Heart and to learn more about your program.
We have a 24/7 line for Heart, so anybody can call that, and that is 1-877-478-6292. If you get a voicemail, so if we don't answer, we will get back to you as soon as we can. Please leave a message, or it's difficult for us to just call back a number for confidentiality reasons. So leave a message and we will get back to you as soon as possible. It does go to our cell phones after hours, so it's going directly to a staff member who works in this program. It's not a call service. So you'll get a hold of someone who works in the HEART program and knows community resources and can help direct you. If HEART is not the appropriate program, then we probably send you to 211 or may know something that may be a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get a hold of us.
So Dina, you know, maybe something you want to end on here?
Yeah, well, on the Ridge, I would encourage folks to call Honey Run. That's 872-6461. Jamie Hurl, she runs the office, and that would be a great starting place if you need any support or information. Again, 211 is another really great resource in our county. Or you could always look up School Ties at Butte County Office of Education and ask to speak to Megan Malloy or any of her fine folks that run the School Ties program, and they'll direct you to the resources that can help you out.
All right. So concludes the Without a Roof radio program. Guillermo Mash signing off for this week. Without a Roof, man, you can find us. Google Without a Roof. We come right to the top. We have a large presence on YouTube, Facebook, and our homepage can be found, WOAROOF.TUMBLR.COM. Big shout out to all of our guests this week. And I'm going to leave you with a Without a Roof vignette as we welcome you to Non-Human Radio, which is coming up next here on People Powered Radio.
What up, John? What did we just see here?
Okay, so we saw this cop, right? And he was all like telling this homeless lady, hey, you got to move you and your cart because you can't be sitting here after you ate your meal. But there was a lady and another lady sitting down, and he didn't tell them. So I asked him, hey, why are you harassing the homeless person and not telling these people over here not to keep going on? And he told me to not worry about it and I should quit talking to him. And yo, dude, he's a peace officer, man. I just want to know. I just want to know. Come on now. Why are the home free kids getting harassed? She was a lady, though, so she wasn't really even a kid. She was just a sweet little elderly homeless lady. Man, that really grinds my gears.
Any final comments?
Authority? Man, John gave you authority. Start acting of it. Treat it like... It's a privilege. Don't be abusing it now. John, love, and God, and protect you on your adventure now.